Oh, Jesus, we're so grateful that you are with us. Good evening, dear friends. I have desired very much to be with you. Shall we begin with prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, we invite you into our midst. We welcome you. Thank you for your presence. We know, Lord, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And we are so thankful that your Spirit is with us this morning. We welcome you. We give you honor. We thank you for paying the price for our sins. You've made atonement for us. You made a way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. You broke down the wall between us and the Father by your precious blood that you shed for us. We honor you. We ask you to come to each person this morning. Open our eyes to see you standing in our midst, encouraging us that all that we need, all we need is you, Jesus. We love you. We adore you. We accept your invitation to come together in your name and to have you encourage us that we are accepted through our beloved Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to your name. Now you've come to live out your life within us, and we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to sing a little song.
Jew, what I was seeing. Oh, her jin ji miao ju en ji du. What I was seeing.
If you know it, Jesus lives in me. You can sing it with me.
Jew, what I was seeing. Oh, heart and chi miao ju en chi du. What I was seeing.
Hallelujah. Jesus lives in us. Hallelujah. And how greatly he loves us. There's another song that came to me, but I only know it in English. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Hallelujah. Yes, what Jesus did on the cross brings us hope from despair. We were lost in sin, but Jesus made a way. And today I wanted to speak to you about the Day of Atonement. Jesus atoned for my sins. He paid the price for our sin of pride. Pride is the root of all sin. It was when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world. And all the misery, all the pain, all the suffering came with it. Pride is the very breath of Satan. And he came to tempt Eve by telling her, you'll be like God. You'll be worshipped. You'll be honored. You'll be exalted. That was exactly what Lucifer wanted when he was in God's presence. And some of the angels wanted the same thing, wanted Lucifer to be exalted. And that's why he was cast out of heaven. And the angels that went with him became demons. So he's still looking for those that will be filled with the same pride he had. But then Jesus came and all humility, in a meek and lowliness of spirit, and in full obedience. He and he alone could atone for our sin. How our hearts raise in faith to believe him. When I was looking at the calendar, I noticed that this is a very special week. The Jewish people are celebrating their new year. They are remembering God's creation, the day that he created Adam and Eve. So all over the world during this weekend, they're celebrating the new year. To them, it's a very holy day. It's the day of atonement. This is the day they honor the atonement of the Lamb. But it is very sad. They don't know Jesus is the Lamb of God. We have the Lamb of God living within us. And we have something better to celebrate. God saw that the human race was bound in sin. And he sent his Son to be our atoning Lamb. He was making a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new." Oh, isn't that wonderful? We're part of that new creation. This is God's second plan. His first plan was creating the world and putting Adam and Eve there, but that plan failed. When God came to visit Adam and Eve, they hid from him. They realized they were naked. And God said, "Where are you, Adam?" And he confessed, "I'm naked." "Oh, who told you you were naked?" And then God made a way. Even then, he killed an animal, shed the animal's blood to make a covering for Adam and Eve. That was a picture of what was to come. Jesus was to shed his blood. He would make full atonement for us. It's so wonderful that we can be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. This is the promise of God found in John chapter 1, 12 and 13. His own didn't receive him. You remember that. This is God's word. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Again, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, we read, says, "It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, meaning Christ, became a life-giving spirit." And then verse 48 in that chapter, "As was the man of death, dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." Jesus is that heavenly man. He is the last Adam. And verse 49 gives us such hope. "As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Jesus made atonement for us. So as the Jewish people all over the world are celebrating this Day of Atonement, we can celebrate the atonement of the Son of God. He has atoned for all our sin. He wants to clothe us. He wants to cover our sin with his precious blood. Oh, how wonderful. Are we bearing the image of Christ? Is it evident in our daily life that we are sons and daughters of God? Do we resemble our elder brother? He was the first son. And we are adopted brothers and sisters. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And those of us who receive him are adopted into his family. And Jesus taught us to call God our Father. We belong to that new creation. Paul tells us in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Oh, that's our calling, to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our own spirit, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Those are the true sons and daughters of God. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us step by step, to speak his words, to think his thoughts? Remember, Paul encourages, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. There's a great call today that we surrender all to Jesus, that we know that it is not by our might or our power, but by his Spirit. He wants our permission to live out his life within us. Every day he sets the choice before us. Will Jesus reign today, or will we choose to do our own will? As I remembered that it was the Jewish holiday, I thought, what a wonderful time to remember our Lord Jesus before he went to the cross. His blood atones for our sin. He won the victory over all pride by his complete surrender to the will of his Father. Oh, and he wants to cause us to receive of his fullness. He says, come to me. I will give you myself. He wants to give us of his own spirit. His spirit is love and joy and peace. It's gentleness and humility of heart. We will never have more humility than we have of Jesus Christ living and reigning in our hearts. What peace and rest he offers us who come to him. We acknowledge that without him, we can do nothing at all. The humility of Christ is the opposite of our human nature because of sin. We may try to appear humble, but only the Holy Spirit can reveal pride to us. Pride is our very nature, and it's hidden in the depths of our heart. But when the light of the Holy Spirit shines on us, we see it, and we cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? We're tempted to despair. We try so hard, but we get discouraged. Our only hope is to look at Jesus. He is always waiting. He wants us to run to him and fall down before him and confess that in me dwells no good thing. And he will come and fill us with his own spirit. It's a spirit of humility. It's a spirit of selflessness. And we will see he picks us up. You know what happened to the Apostle Peter? He was so full of his own spirit of, I can do it. He followed Jesus for 3.5 years. There was nothing he didn't think he could do. He was devoted to Jesus. And you know, Jesus sent him out to preach the gospel and to have people healed. And when the disciples came back to Jesus, they told all the wonderful things that happened. And Jesus said, don't rejoice over this. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But at the end, Jesus said to Peter, before the clock crows 3 times, you'll deny me 3 times. Peter said, never me. Maybe one of these other fellows. But when it happened, Peter denied him. He looked, and Jesus turned his glance toward him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh. He was so brokenhearted. He repented and wept bitterly. And then Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And he answered him 3 times, "Yes, Lord, you know I do love you." And then when Jesus was departing into heaven, he said, "Wait here and let my spirit fill you." They waited 10 days. Nothing seemed to be happening. When you practice waiting on the Lord, does it seem like nothing's happening? That's the time the Lord is emptying you. That's the time he is bringing you down before him. And perhaps your eyes are being opened to see how you fail. We don't see ourselves unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come to reprove of sin. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He opens our eyes. He's the Spirit of truth, and he always points to Jesus. Jesus said he won't speak about himself. His total focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemption. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to exalt Jesus. Remember that. You get taken up with some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're all meant to point us to the Lamb of God. It's God's plan to exalt and honor his Son. Perhaps you remember from our lesson last week that the work of the Holy Spirit is exalting Jesus, because Jesus did nothing but exalt his Father. Again and again, Jesus walked the earth saying, "Oh, the words that I speak are not mine, they're my Father's. The miracles you see, the works that you see are my Father's." Well, he was always getting alone with his Father to find out what he wanted him to do. Even in times of success, he wanted to know what to do. Should he stay here? Even when he raised Lazarus from the dead, people thought, "Oh, now you should make yourself known." No, Jesus left and went to a little village and stayed there until it was time to go to the cross. And that's our calling, to listen and see what would the Lord have us to do. We must truly believe that of ourselves we can do nothing at all. In us dwells no good thing. We must run to Jesus, wait in his presence. I wonder what Peter thought about during those 10 days he had to sit still in God's presence. Even though Jesus had totally forgiven him, Peter must have remembered how he failed. And of course, he could have remembered how Jesus forgave him. And he waited along with the other 120 of them. That's why it's been so important that Pastor Chow has wanted to impress you of the need to wait in his presence. I call that the main theme of our ministry, to wait on the Lord. Don't run ahead of him. Don't try to do it on your own. If you do, you find out failures around the corner. It's in his presence that he fills us with all that we need. He wants to change us into his image. He wanted to be, as Paul said, "No longer I, but Christ living in me." And Paul tells us, the Corinthians, it's by beholding him that we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit does not exalt himself. He honors Jesus, the Son of God. Because Jesus was in total obedience, God has exalted him. He was the one well-pleasing in God's sight. And he wants to bring many sons with him into glory. And that goes for daughters too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we find out on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of his brokenness and emptiness, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He will do the same for us if we allow him to show us ourselves the way he really sees us. It'll prick our heart and cause us to be repenting. And then he is able to fill us with his own Spirit. Now you remember the result. After that infilling, 3,000 souls were saved. But the disciples all became very dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will come again. I go away, but I'm coming again. This time I will come to live within you. I want to fill you with myself. And you know, those disciples went through much suffering. It wasn't very long after Pentecost that James' head was cut off and others of them were beaten and cast into prison. But they kept their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believed, like we believe, that even though we perish in this world, we will be resurrected like Christ was. In these days, when in the United States, it appears as though we're losing our freedom of worship. We don't know what is ahead. This day, in the center of our government, Washington, D.C., we have a wonderful prayer meeting going on at noon today. Washington, D.C. is the very center of our government. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, is organizing a prayer march. They're going to be starting at the Lincoln Memorial and walk to the Capitol. They're not going to be rioting or doing anything like that, demonstrating. They're coming from all over our country to pray. Our great heritage in the United States is freedom to worship God. But there's much opposition to that. But what we read in the book of Acts about the trials the disciples went through, we realize we may have to suffer. This morning, very early, I thought of what a privilege it is to be able to be gathered together with you. We don't know from day to day, if this is my last opportunity. I said, oh, Jesus, speak to them through me. Don't let me speak my own words. Let me be your empty vessel, that you may communicate to them your great love over them. You will stir them up to seek you with a whole heart, that you will fill them with your Spirit, that they will know without you they can do nothing at all. But in Christ, they can do all things. Just like our disciple Peter is filled with the Spirit and God is using him miraculously. There are some verses in his epistle, the epistle of Peter, chapter 5, that I want to share with you. This is Peter's words as he is nearing the end of his life. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. This message is a warning to those of us in leadership. Watch out over your sheep with loving humility. Look after them, not lording it over them, showing by your example the way Christ did by his example of washing the disciples' feet in the spirit of humility. See, that's what Jesus said. His most important lesson was kneeling down, taking off their sandals, and washing their dirty feet. Verse 5 says, like, would you read verse 5, teacher? All of us need to submit to one another. Not one of us has all the answers, no matter how long we've been serving the Lord. We need to be open to listen to others, be clothed with humility. What a beautiful garment humility is. It's described in Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. When Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that nakedness. God clothed them. He waits today to clothe us with the beautiful garment of Christ and his humility. Let us obey his counsel and come to him that he may clothe us. This is the wedding garment that is most suitable for the bride of Christ, to be clothed with Christ. Hallelujah. He's made a way. We come to realize that pride is the very breath of Satan and all his demons. There's a lesson in Mark chapter 5 with the story of the Gadarene. You may remember it. Jesus asked the man, what was his name? What is your name? He said, Legion, for we're many. And when Jesus cast them out, they filled 2,000 swine and were drowned in the sea. The people in town came out to see what had happened. When they heard the swine were all drowned, they saw the man they knew who had been possessed and chained. Now, when they see him, he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. And in his right mind, sorry. That's a wonderful testimony of what Jesus is able to do for us. When we come down at the feet of Jesus, he will cleanse us and clothe us with his humility. Hallelujah. And we will be in our right mind. He will give us the right attitude toward others. Paul tells us what that mind of Christ is. He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He wants to give us his humility. As we deny ourselves and turn from our pride, we find the joy of deliverance. Andrew Murray tells us, humility before God is nothing if not proved in humility before men. He also says that the daily life is the test of eternity and proves the spirit that really possesses us. Let this be our daily prayer, that Christ will manifest his power to break the power of pride. Let us live a life of full surrender to the Lord, not insisting on our own ways, but saying, what would you have me to do? Not my will, your will be done. Clothe me with your humility. Oh, let us get alone with him while he works to conform us to the image of his Son. Nothing will please our Heavenly Father more than to see his Son reflected in his children. Jesus said, come, learn from me. I will clothe you with my humility, just as I clothed my disciples. Your nakedness will not appear, your sin, your pride, but I will give you my spirit of meekness and lowliness of heart. I will choose you to be my bride, who is captured with my love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Jesus, we'll look at you this morning. Clothe us with your humility. Set us free. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you for your victory We thank you for the atonement you have made for us. We are your children. We are your sons and daughters. And we surrender to you this morning that you have your way. Hallelujah. We have a very special treat this morning. Another one of my very dear friends, Jenny, is going to share with us a testimony. So open your heart to hear.
I thank Sister Martha today's lesson. I found myself in many examples she quoted. I know that I'm very prideful. I recall that my dealing with my son. I really was convinced that I was right, because everything I did is for his good. That in regard to his choices about his direction, his school, everything, I was convinced that I saw it clearly what is the right way for him. But he couldn't receive. He was rebellious. And he talked back and pointing many wrongs that I made. So we were in a rather tense situation for a long time. And this tension lasted long, and until one day I prayed to the Lord. If it was me who was wrong, please, Lord, correct me. But I really felt that God loved us too much. And because I put a clause, if I were wrong, but even that, God began to change me. I began to see many mistakes I made. I began to learn to respect my son, that he can learn what he needs to. And shortly after, I sensed that our relationships began to change. Thus, I was very grateful. And I found that when I was willing to learn humility, God did not only work in me, but I saw he began to work and change my son. How good is God's plan? What he gives is always more than we can ask or imagine. So I found my relationships with my son kept improving. It's getting better and better. And then even in his study, I saw improvements. And I really learned a great deal from him. Because he is a really a rather unique child. After graduating from college, he spent 9 years. He tried various jobs. And all those jobs unlikely pays enough for him to live independently. Yet I learned to let go and to let God. Until this year, that God gave him a job that is enough for him to support himself regarding to salary. Mm-hmm. And during this time, he said to me, every time you talk to me, it's always like you are preaching to me or lecturing me. And I replied, no, that's not what I meant. Yet, as I turn back to God, humble myself before God. And God showed me, yes, I am lecturing him. Because I was so used to talk to him that way, that I wasn't even conscious of the tone, of the way I lecture him. So afterwards, I would learn to say to him, from now on, whatever mom says to you, it's all suggestions, it's my opinions. Yet, I support you to make your own decision. So as I learn these lessons, I discovered that I began to win his trust little by little. And sometimes he would point out that, mom, the way you talk this time is a little bit too tense. And I would humble myself and say, oh, I'm sorry for saying that. And still, I respect you. So more and more, we become like friends. When I make mistakes, he will let me know. Unlike before, in the past, he would just run away. So I'm thankful how crucial humility is to us. I remember one time as I saw Sister Martha, how she knelt on the floor and washing her husband's feet. And that image just stirred me up to say, oh, so much more I need to learn, Lord. How I treat my husband, I need more of your humility. Yes, humility is life. It's the way I live. The way I ought to live. Because I just live out who I really am, right? Because if I truly possess humility, the way I live, naturally, that spirit of humility will come out. I really desire God to continue to work in me, to work out the humility, especially in the way I treat my husband. And also before men, I need to learn. And because I found myself often, like Sister Martha says, I have answers to everything. I can do it. So I learned this time that's something I need to acquire. Something I need to be changed. Just like Jesus said, my judgment is true because that's not my judgment, but the Father's who is in me. I need to get rid of my own judgment by allowing God to make the judgment. I'll end my sharing here with the time back to Sister Martha.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So beautiful. I have traveled many years with Pastor and Sister Nancy, and I have seen her in many situations, and she is a great example to me. People think of her maybe as insignificant, but I have been with her in difficult situations when the power of God would come upon her and she would minister in the force of the Holy Ghost. I've also seen her when she is completely submissive to her husband. She made a commitment to the Lord Jesus and she shared that secret to me. Don't answer back. And that meant a very happy life. It's so natural for us women. We're all daughters of Eve, and most of us women have a spirit of managing. You know, it happens when our children are born, we have to take care. And then we have to take care of the meals. We have to take care of the laundry. And we want to do it. And many do it very capably. I've been in other homes where I saw the wife doing miraculous things for her family. But we have to be careful that we do not take on this spirit of, I'm the one. Men are so different from women. Excuse me. And women have their own calling, but God blends us together so we can learn from one another. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll give him a helper. And so he put Adam to sleep and he took his rib and he made a woman from him. So was she made out of dust, or I think she was made out of Adam's rib? Hopefully it was the rib close to his heart. But it takes the Spirit of Christ. Christ to make the blend. Today, our world is in great turmoil because the woman wants complete control. Even if we are in a place of leadership, whether we're married or single, I have some dear friends who are in leadership and they're single. They have full responsibility. One of my very best friends learned that of herself she could do nothing. She was stripped of all of her abilities. But she had the grace to learn that her life was complete as the lover of Jesus. We must always remember that every good thing comes from God. Every good that we do is not of ourselves. It is from Him. The talents we have are from Him. Well, the ability to do it is from Him. Now you know that I am growing older, much older. And that gives me a greater sense of my need of the Lord Jesus. When I was young, I had physical problems, so I was very dependent then on Him. But in my married life, I became stronger and able to do more. But this has been a week when we have had several problems in the family where I felt helpless. We have three sons, and one was in great need, great problems. And during that time, the Lord gave great help. He gave grace. And then we must be very careful to give Him all the glory. It wasn't his mother. It wasn't his father. It was the Lord. I thank you for sharing, Jenny. And I think our time is over, but I want to pray. Maybe we take a few minutes just to pray for you. We don't know when we'll meet again, but you'll be in my heart. Now, dear Lord Jesus, we commit this session to you. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for reminding us that we are naked apart from you. We want you to clothe us. Give us a white garment. Let your blood cover the spots, the tears that are there because of our pride. Wash us thoroughly. Clothe us with your humility. Clothe us with yourself. Love through us. Let us wives be empty instruments filled with the love of Christ. Let us serve our husbands as Sarah served Abraham, calling him Lord. Help us to submit. Teach us how to come down, how to bow before you, whether we're serving our husband or our children. Let us be clothed with Christ. And we pray for the men in our group. You know how to subdue all things unto yourself. Let the men recognize it is the Lord's doing, that you yourself were the most humble man who has ever lived, and you want to live out your life in the men, that they will be true sons of God, not doing their own will, but the will of their Father. We claim your victory as you live out your life within each one of us. In the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So good to be with you, and I must leave you, but I keep you in my heart. Bye.